we grow in the Word, we're making impact as we serve the Lord.
We're going to be talking about trusting God in times of trouble, which we've done all since we've been in shelter in place. We've been trusting God in times of trouble. But today I want to talk specifically about five keys to godly decision making. Five keys to godly decision making. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for encouraging us by your word. But we also thank you for your Holy Spirit who takes that word and illuminates it, reveals it to us so that we can not only hear your word, but we can perform your word, we can do your word, we can live your word. And our faith is increased as faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So speak to us very clearly today, Lord. Let your will be done in the delivery of your word. And let us all have ears to hear what you have to speak. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we're talking about five keys to godly decision making. Five keys to godly decision making. And so we are in, here in California, we're in day 41 of our shelter in place. And there's still days to go. Some of you know that. In fact, our governor has laid out a plan to lift the order, but there's some criteria that have to be met in order for our shelter in place to be lifted. And as such, it's lifted in stages, if you will, as they monitor the new cases of COVID-19, as they monitor the hospital admissions and the emergency room admissions, as they monitor these things and these numbers begin to go down, then there's a strategy for us to be able to meet together again. Some of you know that now it's mandatory here in the Bay Area that when we're out in public that we wear our masks. Thank God I don't have to wear my mask right now, but when we're out in public, we wear our masks because this is part of the strategy to drop the shelter in place, if you will. Now, what's interesting, other leaders are making decisions also. You hear it in the news that other governors are opening their states and some are holding back. And there's no right or wrong. They just have their decisions that they have to make for their community. And I'll just say this, I'm not into politics. I can't remember a time that I've said anything about politicians or that in a sermon. I will say that I'm thankful that we are doing what we are doing here in California. And I want to thank the Lord for you all honoring this shelter in place so that we can do what's necessary to, as Joe said earlier on, to eliminate this pandemic. But what's interesting about this is many of us, we have decisions to make. We really do. Just like government officials have decisions to make, and these are weighty decisions, you and I have decisions to make as well because things are different. I'll tell you, this is different. There are some things we will not go back to as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. So people will have to make decisions concerning their finances. And this is primarily due to unemployment. We know that the unemployment levels are higher than they've ever been. And so people have to make decisions. They have to cut back on the budget. In fact, people are living on unemployment who will be living on unemployment who never have before. They've always worked, right? So in this regard, people will have to make decisions concerning their budget. They'll have to make decisions concerning their household. Many people have to make decisions concerning their business. Think about this. There are some small businesses that are closed, period. I just heard that a major, and this is not a small business. This is a nationwide business. I just heard my wife share with me that a major gym is closing its doors as a result of what has occurred here. And so small businesses are impacted, large businesses are impacted, and we have decisions to make, ladies and gentlemen. property owners will have to make decisions concerning their property. We have to make decisions concerning our family, right? Because now incomes in some people's case may be a little lower. But I, as Joe said, I just want to say this. I know I'm sharing our condition today, but you know God supersedes our condition. I want to encourage you that God is going to come through for you as you trust in Him. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So we know that God will show Himself strong on your behalf, but this is the condition of our nation today, that we have decisions to make. Many of us have decisions to make. Just recently, I heard that there's a couple that are no longer a couple, but they're co-parenting. And so the child spends some time with one parent and then the balance of the week with another parent. And as a result of this pandemic, one parent says, no, my child is not going to the other parent. I don't know what they're going to be exposed to. And thus actually broke the order that the court had determined. See, what's interesting is we're living in times that this is all new to us. And when we face new challenges, fears, if you will, new ways that we are not in control, then people kind of go for what they know. And God, I want to encourage you to trust God during this time. See, many people run the risk of making bad decisions for fear. They run the risk of making bad decisions because they have no control. They run the risk of making bad decisions without exercising judgment as because many people are in survival mode. They're just trying to survive this thing and they're going for what they know. But I want to encourage you today. You and I, we have God Almighty, El Shaddai, God who takes care of us. We have Him to call on to. So I want to share with you how you can make godly decisions, because we are in a difficult time. We're in a time where people are challenged with uncertainty. Isn't that interesting? We're challenged with uncertainty. Some of us don't know what the future holds, especially if you've been laid off, especially if the persons or the organization that you work for, maybe they're closing their doors. And you may be skilled in that area and now not know what you are going to do. Now, what's interesting is when we're in those pickles, so to speak, when we're in the right caught between a rock and a hard place, that's when people rush to judgment, if you will, and they make decisions that have negative impact on their lives and negative impact on the lives of others. In fact, you know, back in the 50s, some researchers determined that the self, that we are made up of like four selves. They determined this based on their research, and they say that there is what's called the known self. And the known self is the me that you know about me. In fact, you know that I'm a pastor. You know that I'm a preacher. Why? Because that's known. It's known to everybody. It's a public, everyone has public knowledge to who I am. And then there's what's called the hidden self. And the hidden self is the self that nobody sees. That's the self that only God and I know about concerning myself. And that's the self that only God and you know about concerning you, because others don't know about that self. Then there's what's called the blind self. The blind self is the self that you are blind to, but those who are close to you can see it. It's like those habits that you may have. And for you married folk in the house or in the room or online, you know what I'm talking about. Husbands and wives, they see the things that husbands and wives habitually do. Or even a family member, if you're in a household and somebody has this habit of belching or another way of passing gas or whatever it is, and they're so oblivious to it that they feel that they don't do it, but you being close to them see that. That's the blind self. That blind self is the self that we have these idiosyncrasies that those close to us see, but we don't see ourselves. And then there's what's called the unknown self. And see, the unknown self is the self that shows up when we have a situation that we've never experienced before, when we are inundated by pressures that we've never had before, when we're facing new challenges and new trials that have never been there before. That's when that unknown self shows up. And the unknown self, it's not a good or bad. Some unknown selves, some people operate in that unknown, and they do it for good. I remember there was this helicopter that had crashed in a creek. It was a small helicopter, and there was a guy who was doing some fishing there, and he ran over to the helicopter, and he discovered that the person was still alive, but partly submerged. And that guy went and lifted the helicopter to let the person out. And when the news reporter interviewed him, he said, "I didn't know. I just had to do something. I just had to do something." See, that's the unknown self. That unknown self will rise to the occasion many times. However, the unknown self can also blow it for us many times. I was talking to a gentleman who had to attend classes because he hit his partner. And in the process of hitting his partner, I was asking him, "So tell me what happened." And he says, "Well, really, I was out of character. It really wasn't me." And I said, "Well, who is it that hit your partner?" He says, "Well, it wasn't me. I was out of character." And I began to explain to him these four facets of self. And when I got to the unknown self, I say, you know, there's times that we in the unknown, when we face the unknown, we do things that we didn't know we would do. But guess what? That's still us. And when he heard that, he said, "Well, Mr. Yancey, you know, I didn't know. I was always saying I was out of character. I was always saying it really wasn't me. I'm not such a bad guy. But now I see that that is me, and I need to work on me." See, we are in a particular time where we have to make decisions, and these decisions have to be made carefully. So I'm going to share with you five keys to godly decision-making, especially now that we are in a time where this is new to many of us. Many of us are facing situations that we may have never faced before, but I want to encourage you to trust God during this time. And this comes from the book of 1 Kings. So I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, and we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 22. Now, I'm going to forewarn you already. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 22, and that's going to be the main body of scripture for us. But I will be referring to other passages that I want you to jot down in your notebook. I won't ask you to turn to them because Joe is going to make those available to us on the screen. But I want to let you know, and I really want to give you the word of God. I want to give you what God says about your situation and what God says about decision making. This is why it may be a little more scriptures than you're familiar with, but I tell you what, if you take those notes, you're going to get fed. But not only are you going to get fed, you're going to get direction as to how to allow God in your decision making, and you make these decisions based on His prompting, His leading, and His guidance. So here, 1 Kings chapter 22. I'm going to give you a little backstory here before we go there. So what's happening is God's people have been split, and there's two kingdoms that represents God's people. One is the southern kingdom, which is Judah, and then there is what's called the northern kingdom, and that is called Israel. So you'll see this in your Bible, the children of Israel overall, and then you'll see when the split happens, the nation of Israel, their capital is Samaria, the nation of Judah, their capital is Jerusalem, right? And so here, the kings of these two territories get together. One king of the northern territory, Israel, his name is Ahab. And then there's the king of the southern territory, the southern kingdom, his name is Jehoshaphat. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat, they get together, and they're establishing peace amongst God's people as these two kings. And so here we find where King Ahab is asking King Jehoshaphat, "Will you join me in battle against a neighboring enemy? Because they have our land. Now we have the capability of taking this land back, but we want you to join with us. So let's look at what the Bible says about this decision that King Jehoshaphat has to make and how he makes this decision. So it says here in 1 Kings chapter 22, let's look at what it says in verse 4. So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are. My people are as your people, my horses as your horses." In other words, we're in this together. Verse 5 says, "Also Jehoshaphat said to the king, 'Please inquire for the word of the Lord today.'" Everybody see that there? See, he says, "Hey, I'm with you. My people are as your people. Our horses are as your horses. We're together. I'm here with you. But there's something that I need you to do first. I need you to inquire of the Lord." And this is key number one to making godly decisions. Number one, include God in your decision making. Include God in your decision-making. Now, I'm going to say this before I go to some passages of scripture. I want to say this. Many times we think we're including God when we say, "Okay, God, I'm getting ready to do this. Bless it for me in Jesus' name." No, that's not including God. That's not including. What you're doing is you're bringing God along for the ride. But that's not including God. God is saying, "I want to be part of the decision-making, not part of the action that you take after you have made the decision." Oh, glory to God. I hope you're getting that in your spirit today. See, God wants to be part of the decision-making process. So let's look at some passages of scripture that help us to understand why God wants to be part of the decision-making process. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Look at what it says here. Let's read it together. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. It says, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" See, we need to involve God in the decision-making process before the action has been determined, because we really don't know our own way. Now, does that mean we can't think on our own? No, it doesn't mean that we can't think on our own, but God has insight that you and I don't have. Oh, glory to God. God can see things ahead that you and I can't see. Therefore, it's important that you and I include God in the decision-making process. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Look at what it says here. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. You see that there? So it's God that directs our steps as we plan our way. We don't have that forevision that God has. Look at Jeremiah chapter 10. I love this. Jeremiah chapter 10. Look at what Jeremiah says. He says this, verse 23, Jeremiah 10, 23. For those of you who are jotting notes, forgive me. Look at what it says. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man who walks to direct his own steps. What he's saying is, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Now, we do the walking, but we don't have the foresight, if you will. We can't see ahead the way God can see ahead. And let me let you know, God can see ahead years. Glory to God. God can see ahead years. Some of you know you've been praying for people, and you're praying for people to come to the knowledge of God. You may be praying for family members, and you're believing God by faith, and you're saying, "Okay, God, I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it." And guess what? If God were to tell us, he'd say it's already done. Why? Because he sees way ahead of you and me. However, we do plan our ways, but see, God, if we're trusting him, if we're including him in the decision-making process, he is directing our steps. Oh, give the Lord a hand praise. Isn't that good? Wow. Look at this last passage of scripture. Look what it says here. Psalm number 125. Psalm number 125, verse 1. I just want to let you know, you can trust the Lord. Look at what it says here. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Oh, glory to God. Do you see that there? See, when we trust God, when we say, okay, God, there's some things that are happening in my home and I need to make some decisions. Lord, there are some things that are happening in my family and I need to make some decisions. Lord, there are things that are happening in my life and I need to make some decisions, but I choose to seek you first. I choose to ask of your voice first. I choose to hear from you first. So Lord, would you be with me right in this and help me to make the right decision? Oh, glory to God. So key number one, include God in your decision making. That's key number one. Now let's go back to our story to see how this unfolds for King Jehoshaphat. So here we go. 1 Kings chapter 22. Now we're in verse 6. Now Ahab, since Jehoshaphat asked of the Lord, inquired of the Lord, look at what Ahab does. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together. Everybody see that there? About 400 men, and said to them, shall I go to Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king. You see that there? Now this leads us to key number two. Resist the crowd influences. Why? Because there many in the crowd will make actions. They will do things. And some of us know that people got caught up in the crowd when they were lining around Costco's trying to buy toilet paper when all of this happened. Remember that? Many of those people were led by the crowd. The crowd got in the car. I'm going to Costco. We got to load up on toilet paper. We got to load up on this. And people say, oh, they're going. Hey, come on, let's get in the car. They're going there. And people get caught up in the crowd. And so here, the crowd, 400 prophets. Think about that, 400 men. This king has 400 prophets. What shall I do? Shall I go up? And they say, oh yeah, it's going to be fine. You are going to get victory. Well, I want to encourage you, resist the crowd influences. Resist the actions of the masses. That's what I call it. Resist the actions of the masses. I remember we would come home and we'd say, Mama, can I go and do such and such and such? And she would say no. And we would say, but everybody doing it. And you know what she'd say? But you're not everybody. I'm not raising everybody. I'm raising you. And you're not going. See, many of us go with the everybody's doing it. Everybody's wearing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's responding this way. But let me let you know, if you want to make godly decisions, you are not influenced by the masses. Oh, glory to God. Look at what it says here in Psalm number 1. Look at it. Psalm number 1, verse 1 through 3. Look at what it says here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. See, he's not going with the masses. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. See, he's not being moved by those around, but he's staying focused on what God says. And look at verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, glory to God. See, this is good when you and I not only include God in our decision-making at that beginning process, but we resist the crowd. We resist the crowd, and we say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to move in the direction you want me to move in. I want your outcome for me and not the outcome that I see others are having. So here, Jesus said it this way. In fact, in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look at that. Just jot it down, but Joe's going to put it there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Look at what Jesus said. He says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are what? Many who go in by it. See, there are masses of people going in to the gate of destruction, that way that leads to destruction, that's the broad way. Many are going in that way. But look at verse 14. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. Praise God. And there are few that find it. Well, I pray that you and I on this in this service, that you and I make up the few, amen? Are you one of the few today? Let me see your hand. I pray that you are one of the few that says, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord. Joshua said it this way, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to be persuaded by the masses. We're not going to be persuaded by all the news networks and everything that we're hearing on the news. We're going to hear that, but we are going to trust our God. So number one, key number one, include God in your decision making. Key number two, resist crowd influences. Resist crowd influences. You know, everybody always has an opinion. Did you know that? There's a saying about that that I won't get into, but some of you know that about everybody having an opinion, right? And so people have opinions, but I want to encourage you to resist that. Don't be led by they say. You know, I've said that once before. You know, people say, well, you know, they say this and they say that. Well, let's not be led by what they say. Let's be led by what God says. And I pray that you get that in your spirit today so that the next time you hear that they say, you know how to put it in its proper place. Back in the day, they used to say in offices, they had a file 13. And a file 13 was a circular file. All the other files were square. You kind of put things in the drawer. File 13 was a circular file. In fact, file 13, I found out, was the garbage can. How many of you remember that? Put it in file 13. So when you hear what they say, I want to encourage you, put it in file 13. I hear what they say, but that's not what I'm motivated by. I am motivated by the word of God and what God says to me. Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. Number one, include God in your decision-making. Number two, resist the crowd. And so let's go back to our story, because there we find key number three. So we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 22, and now we're going to look at verse 7. And Jehoshaphat replies, after all of these, 400 prophets says, oh yeah, king, go, God, you're going to get the victory, you're going to beat them. Look at what Jehoshaphat says in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 7. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Oh, hallelujah, this is good. Because that leads us to key number three. Ensure your answer is from a godly source. Ensure your answer is from a godly source. King Jehoshaphat sees these 400 men, these 400 prophets, give King Ahab this great report that he's gonna have victory over those that he's going into battle with. And Jehoshaphat could see right through. He said, well, wait a minute. Is there anybody that knows the Lord? Anybody that has a connection with God that we can confer with about this? So what I want to do is encourage you, ensure your answer is from a godly source. Well, you say, well, Pastor Will, how can I ensure my answer is from a godly source? Well, number one, the word is a godly source, isn't it? I like what Psalm number 119 says. Psalm number 119 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Everybody see that there? See, when we have to make decisions, we are deciding to move forward in some way. And the Bible tells us that the word of God, it's a lamp unto my feet. In other words, as I take my next step, I have clear vision of what's in front of me. Now, I may not see the long haul. See, God sees the long haul. All I need to see is where to take my next step. Hallelujah. And you can find in the word where to take your next step. Some of us want to have the whole map charted out for us, right? Okay, we go here, then we go there, then we go there. But you know what? Even with GPSs nowadays, they might give you the bigger picture, but when you start driving, it's going to shrink down to the next thing you have to do, turn right at such and such corner. And when you make that right, then it's going to say, go down a quarter of a mile and make a left at such and such and such. It's not going to say, okay, turn right and Clovis, New Mexico, or wherever you're going is going to be in your view. No, it's taking you a step at a time, turn by turn. Turn by turn. And the Bible, the Word of God, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. As I get in it on a daily basis, I can know where to go next. I can stay on the road, and it'll let me know when to make my turn. And when I make that turn, I'm in the Word more, or I'm in the Word again. And then when I have to make the decision to make that next turn, God is guiding me. Why? Because the source that I'm using is the Word of God. So ensure your answers are from a godly source. Now, there's also another source that God uses, and that is godly leaders, those who are living the lives themselves. Notice how I clarify godly leaders, because there are people that say they're godly leaders. Did you know that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, did you know that they said that they were people of God? Oh, yeah. They did. They said that they were the godly leaders of that day. But what I'm saying is, I want to encourage you to ask godly leaders who are living the lives themselves, not in theory. They're not just teaching, but they are also living the life. Look at what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what it says. And the things that you have heard. Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy, who's a pastor. He says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to who? To faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Well, how can they teach others also? Because they're faithful men. They've shown themselves to be faithful under Timothy's leadership, and they have been discipled, and they have been growing, and here they become godly sources to other folks. Why? Because they are faithful men, and they are able to teach others. Oh, praise God. See, God doesn't leave us alone, by the way. Did you know the church is God's organism for us to grow? It is. He's given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the working of for the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry, right? Here, God uses the leadership within the church to help disciples, to help people that are trusting God to learn how to allow God to help them in their decision-making. So when you find that a man or woman of God is leading you to trust them, I want you to caution. There should be a red flag that goes up. You want that man or woman of God to lead you to trust God. Amen. They should. I do it often. I'll have a conversation with someone, and I've just had some conversations this week. And one of the first things I'll ask, do you have a Bible? Do you have your Word with you? And we'll go into what God says about the issue. So key number three, ensure your answer is from a godly source. And we know that the Word is a godly source. We know that godly leaders are a godly source. And lastly, we know that godly counsel is a godly source. Look at Proverb, and we're going to look at two of these Proverbs, Proverb chapter 11 and then Proverb chapter 19. Here, Proverb chapter 11, verse 14, look at what it says. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. You see that there? And then look at Proverb 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You see what it says there? So here, you and I, as we are looking to make godly decisions, we want to ensure that answer that we receive is from a godly source, because there's a lot of people giving answers nowadays. You can just turn on any of these channels, any of the media channels where they're talking about issues of the day. A lot of people have a lot of answers, but I want to encourage you, make sure your answers come from a godly source. So let's go back to our story here. So back in 1 Kings. So Jehoshaphat replies, isn't there somebody, I'm going to paraphrase, isn't there somebody here that can hear from the Lord? And I just want to encourage you. Let me just go back to that. You want to make sure that whoever you're listening to, look at their life. Look at, do they pray? Do they pray with you? Look at some characteristics that you want to see that they follow the Lord. So King Ahab replies. Look at how he replies. So we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. Look at what he says. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man. See, out of all of those 400, he never asked this man to show up, by the way. Let's look at this. There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, oh, let not the king say such things. Look at that. Here, there is a man that the king could have asked or could have included in those in the first round of him asking that question to the 400 men. But you notice how the king didn't ask for this man to show up. And he didn't ask for this man to show up because, number one, it is a man of God. And number two, this man of God has nothing good to say about this king. And it's in part, if you look at this book in 1 Kings, you'll find out that Ahab is married to a lady called Jezebel. Yes! Some of you, a light is going on right now. Jezebel initiated pagan worship for God's people. And idolatry was rampant under King Ahab's reign. So, of course, you're not going to hear good things come out of the man of God because you're not doing the things of God, but you're participating in idolatry and you're going the way of pagans. So here, this prophet usually didn't have anything good to say about Ahab because Ahab was not fulfilling God's will as king for his people. So they do summons Micaiah, and let's look at what Micaiah says here. 1 Kings chapter 22. Now we're going to drop down to verse 17 and 18. Then he said, and this is Micaiah, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Everybody see that there? Yes. So here he gets the appropriate word from God that God sees the people scattered because they have no leader. They have no shepherd. And you know what that means? That means King Ahab is going to die in this battle. That's what that means. But he didn't want to hear that. Oh, let me just say this. There's times that people really do need to be truthful. They really need to be true. Now, let me just clarify something, because I've heard people say, I'm just going to tell you the brutal truth. Well, let me just let you know that if that's how somebody is going to share the truth with me, I really don't want to hear it that way, because that means that they're going to use the truth to hurt me. The truth in itself may hurt me, but at least give it to me tenderly. Give it to me with kindness. Give it to me with compassion. In fact, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, just jot it down. It says, if a brother or sister is overtaken in a fault, he that is spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So you might tell the truth, but you're telling the truth in such a way that you're so empathetic with how you're sharing that truth. You're saying, you know what, this could be me. And I really understand how you were influenced by such and such and such. But I'm here to let you know that God still loves you. And he really wants you to come out of that. See, that's telling the truth, but it's telling the truth in love. So you don't want to be brutally, I'm going to be brutally honest. Okay, that means somebody's setting someone up to be intentionally hurt. So we want to tell the truth and allow the truth to settle. Remember, all of God's works are done in the truth. Remember that? That's what Psalm tells us. So here, the prophet says that the king is not going to survive. That's what he says. So let's continue on. 1 Kings chapter 22. Now we're going to drop down to verse 29 and 30. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Let me just say this. You know, you can't hide from God. Hallelujah. If it's your time, it's your time. If he's pulling your number, he's pulling your number. And regardless of what disguise you may have on, regardless of how you may orchestrate the situation, God, if it's your time, it is your time. That's why you want to make sure you know where you're going when it's your time. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, you want to know where you're going. So if it's your time, you can say, okay, I don't have to disguise myself. I don't have to try to evade this by some human means of tricking God. We can't trick God. He's sovereign, glory to God. He knows all things. He's omniscient. He sees all things. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. We cannot fool God. And here this king is so steeped in idolatry that he actually believes that he can fool God by not putting on his king's attire in battle. Think about that. Oh, I want to let you know, some of you, you may have been there, or you may be there now, where you say, well, you know, I know I'm not where I should be, but I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it right. Well, you can't get it right. If you could get it right, you'd be where you should be. You can't get it right. God made it right for you and me by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross. See, that's what makes it right. His death makes it right. His burial makes it right. His resurrection makes it right. Where you and I can live right. Why? Because he rose again from the grave. We just talked about that in our resurrection service. So you can't get it right. But let me let you know, neither can you fool God. Some people walking around like under the shade of buildings and under the shade of trees, kind of creeping. We call it being in the dark. Some people call it being on the under, right? There's some people that are on the under and they know God, but they think, well, he know my heart. Yeah, he know your heart and he knows your condition and he knows where you are. You are not fooling God. Oh, glory to God. You can't fool him. Now, see, I'm telling you the truth, but I'm telling you the truth in love, in ways that you can repent. You can come back. You can say, okay, God, you know, Pastor Will is right. For this amount of time, I have been doing my own thing, and I know you. And I've not been consoling your word, and I know too. And I've not been praying, and I know I should. Lord, I just come to you today. You know, I want to encourage you, even right now. This is not the end of the message, but I want to encourage you to take that step. I do. I want to encourage you because, see, he tells us in his word that he'll forgive you of your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Do you know what holds many people back from repentance? What they think about it? Sometimes it's pride. Sometimes it's, God, I've done so much bad, Lord. How could you ever forgive me? And so what we do is we place our human understanding on our God. And God says, well, wait a minute. I'm not you. I'm not man, I am God. And I love you with agape. I love you with my love. Now, I do want you to repent, but I want you to repent knowing that I will hear and answer your prayer and forgive you of your sin. Let me keep going here so we can wrap this up. So the king disguises himself. And this leads us to key number four. Make the decision, or in some people's case, decisions by faith. Don't be paralyzed by uncertainty. See, here Jehoshaphat, he covered his bases. When King Ahab asked him to go into battle with him, he said, hey, let's hear from the Lord. And when those 400 men came and they gave that false prophecy, King Jehoshaphat said, well, is there any true man of God that we can hear from? I need to hear from God on this, right? And I don't want to, I'm not going to be led by the masses. I need to hear from God, and I want godly counsel. So he ensured that he heard from God. And then, you know what? He did hear from God, didn't he? He heard that King Ahab is not going to make it back. That's what he heard. He heard that the sheep were scattered because they didn't have a shepherd. And you know what King Jehoshaphat did? He made a step of faith. And he made this step of faith trusting God because he had already committed himself to helping King Ahab. Remember that he said, my people are as your people. My horses are as your horses. Our army, as we're together in this. So he rather than back out and say, well you know, no. He said, you know what? I'm going to move forward. And I believe he made that decision by faith. He said, okay, I'm going to go. I love that because some of us would have been stuck. We would have been saying, well, wait a minute, he just got a negative outcome. Oh, Lord, what do I do? And sometimes we are stuck because of what we think are going to happen that oftentimes never materializes. Oh, let me let you kind of digest that one there. There's times that you and I fail to take that step of faith, as Jehoshaphat does. We fail to take that step of faith because we're saying, well, what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or what if this falls through? Or what if that falls through? Or what if somebody thinks this of me? Or what if they think that of me? Or what if I fail? What if I can't measure up? Those what ifs can stymie us. Those what ifs can stop us in our tracks. But I want to encourage you today, make the decision by faith. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. I think you guys are probably familiar with me saying that practically about every passage we turn to. But this is one of my favorite passages of scripture when it comes to taking action, when it comes to moving forward with my decision making. Let's look at it together. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting at verse 4. Look at what it says. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. See, what he's saying is, if you're looking at what could possibly happen because of the wind, you won't sow. And the way they used to sow back in the day is they needed to sow their seeds in a row as they are planting seeds for harvest. But they say, well, if it's real windy, you know, my seeds won't fall the way they need to fall in the row. And so some people are saying, well, it's a little too windy, so I don't think I'm going to sow today. I think, well, we're going to wait till tomorrow where it's a little more calm, right? And then he says, and he who considers the clouds will not reap. And what that means is, okay, the crops have grown, and it's time to go out and pick them, but there's some storm clouds overhead, and you say, well, I would go out there, but I think it's going to rain, so I don't want to get wet. So I'm just going to kind of wait. You see what he's saying there? He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. They're stuck, even though they should be moving forward. They are stuck by the what ifs. What if I get wet? What if the wind take my seed and blow it all over, then I got to pick it, I'm going to lose my seed? You don't know that. Well, in fact, let's look at what he says. Look at verse 5. As you don't know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you don't know what? The works of God who made everything. Oh, glory to God. See, I don't know if it's going to rain or not. And let me let you know, I've just been having fun with our meteorologists here in the Bay Area, and I found out that it's kind of the same everywhere else. Because of this shelter in place, a lot of meteorologists are working from home, right? And they've been predicting like sunny days and it was cloudy. They've been predicting cloudy days and it's been hot. I mean, they've been predicting all kinds of things. And you know what? They really don't know. They don't know. And you and I have the propensity or the inclination to do the same thing. Oh, well, I think this is going to happen. Oh, well, I think that's going to happen. No, you don't know the ways of God. Only God knows the ways of God. Therefore, guess who you can trust? You can trust God. Look at what it says here. Let me keep going here. He says in verse 6, so in the morning, do what? Sow your seed. Get up and sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Oh, glory to God. Give the Lord a hand, praise. See, that's what you want to do. You want to make that step of faith. If you're making that step in faith, God has got you. We like to say God has got your back, but I'm going to say it this way. When you take a step of faith and you know you are trusting God by faith, God has your feet. He will catch your feet. He will. He will not allow your foot to be moved. That's Psalm number 121. He shall not suffer my foot to be moved. Notice that. So when we take that step of faith, God is right there with his hand. And even though we're stepping into the unknown, believing God wants us to, when we step, we will sense his hand right underneath us so we can make that or take that next step into what God has for us. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise. Oh, yes. This is good stuff. It reminds me of that movie Indiana Jones, and I don't know if it was for the Holy Grail or the Temple of Doom. It was one of those movies where they made their way up into this mountain, right? And they've got what they need, and the enemy is coming up behind them, and there's only one way in this place, and Indiana Jones has used that way. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. And so there's only one way out too, and it's down this gigantic drop, and it's thousands of feet down. And so here they're in this room, and there's lots of gold little nuggets on the ground, and they know the enemy is coming, and they have to move forward. They have to move forward, even if it means to their demise. So they get ready to go, and they realize that it's a drop, and Indiana Jones's foot hits some of that dust, that gold dust that's on the ground. And guess what happens when he hits that gold dust? The gold dust goes over the cliff, and you think it's going to fall, but what you discover is there's an invisible road there. And what they did is they just begin to scatter more and more of that gold on that pathway. See, God has a pathway for you and I, and there's times we don't see it, but he wants us to take the step of faith, and it's when we take the step of faith that we see it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. It's when we take the step. If Indiana Jones hadn't taken that step, they would not have known that there was a path already laid out for them. They just needed to walk into it. And I'm so thankful that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works that God has foreordained that you and I should walk in them. God has a plan for you. I want to let you know. Glory to God. He has a plan, and his plan does not including him leaving you in the time of need. It doesn't include you not hearing from him when you need to make decisions. He will help you and make the decision known. So here, key number one, include God in your decision-making. Key number two, resist crowd influences, right? Key number three, ensure your answer is from a godly source. Key number four, make the decision by faith. And key number five, I'm going to go right to it. Look at key number five, trust God for the outcome. Oh, there it is. Trust God for the outcome. So let's go back to our story with Jehoshaphat. Let's go back to, look at what it says here. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse 31 through 33. That's where we are now. 31 through 33. Now, let me let you know what happened is the battle is hot, and they're fighting. The king, King Ahab is in disguise. King Jehoshaphat, he wore his royal regalia. He's looking like a king. And what's interesting is the commanders are instructed to go after the king. Isn't that something? Ahab kind of knew that. And Jehoshaphat, he's truly trusted the Lord, because I don't know if I would. If Ahab say, hey, I'm going to look like a normal person, you can look like a king, let's go into battle, I might have to say, I don't know about that. But look at what happened here. Let's go back to the scripture. It says this, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 31. Now the king of Syria had commanded 32 captains of his chariots, saying, fight with no one, small or great, but only the king of Israel. You see that there? He had a target on the king of Israel. Look at verse 32. So it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they're saying this because he's the only one that has on royal regalia in the army. Therefore, they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out, oh, glory to God. I'm so thankful that even in the midst of a decision that we've made, it may not look like it's going to turn out right. God will still rescue you and I. Oh, let me let you know, he will not leave us nor forsake us. And look at what happens here. It says that, therefore, they turned aside to fight against Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And look at what it says. And it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, They turn back from pursuing him. Isn't that good? See, key number five, trust God for the outcome. It may look crazy. Did you know that looked insane for Jehoshaphat that very moment? If we could capture that moment in motion picture, we would see the king in the midst of battle and folks are fighting. And my wife, Jackie, and I, we love those period movies where we're looking at these wars and the shields and all that. And these folks are fighting and Jehoshaphat is in his chariot. He's just overseeing, taking a look. And these officers are pursuing him along with their men, by the way, pursuing him. And they're getting ready to kill him. They're getting ready to pursue, not only pursue, but take him. And he cries out. Now, it doesn't say what he said, but I'm so thankful that God heard his cry. And he caused those men to leave him alone. Oh, glory to God. See, there it is. You have decisions to make. And sometimes that decision to make, it may look like you're going into the fiery furnace. I want to encourage you, commit to going. Commit by faith. You know what? I'm going to do this by faith. And just like those Hebrew boys that went into the fiery furnace in the book of Daniel, they did it by faith. And guess what? They even said, you know what? Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. See, they didn't say our God will deliver us. They didn't say, oh, we're going to come out unscathed. They said he's able to, but even if not, which means we can perish. And if I perish, I perish. You know who else said that? Esther. Queen Esther said that very same thing when there was an edict against her people. And she said, you know what? I'm going to go in front of the king. And I know it's uncustomary to do that. It's against the law to do that. But if I'm going to intercede. And if I perish, I perish. Oh, I pray that that could be your resolve today. I believe that's the kind of resolve God is looking for. He's looking for his people to say, you know what? I'm going to do what God says. And if I perish, I perish. To be absent from the body is to be where? Present with the Lord. If they take me, they take me. If they don't, they don't. Either way, I'm trusting God for the outcome. See, you can always trust God to work in your favor. In some people's favor, it's for him to bring them home. In some people's case, it really is. Some people, you know, we've been praying for Pastor Parma. Pastor Parma, I don't know how God is going to do it, but we're praying for him. And the thought that I have, Pastor Parma, he's been fighting, and we're continuing to pray for Pastor Parma. He's in his late 80s. He's had the COVID-19. He's had a heart attack, and now he has pneumonia, and he's in the hospital with pneumonia. And he's been beating everything. God has been sustaining him. See, I don't know what God has in store for Pastor Parma, but it's like the Apostle Paul said, it's good for me to stay, and it's better for me to leave. So we don't know. The point here is you want to trust God with the outcome. So you can always trust him. Some of you have a decision to make right now. You don't feel you know God well enough for him to help you in this way. And I want to encourage you. I want to give you the ability to know God well enough for him to be intricately involved in your decision making, as we have seen him intricately involved in King Jehoshaphat's decision making. Jesus is the way to God. He says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And this is how we can invite God into our decision making, because we know him. We have relationship with him through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray with you. Let's pray. Every head bowed. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for just the word that you've given us, Lord, that encourages our soul, and that prompts us, that motivates us to trust in you, motivates us to include you in our decision making, motivates us to look at you rather than the masses, motivates us to take that step of faith, Lord, and motivates us to trust you for the outcome. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you lovingly encourage us into relationship with you. For you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I never want to assume that everybody on our calls or everybody in our service, our online service, have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I never want to assume that. So for those of you, you say, Pastor Will, I'd like to receive Jesus. I'd like to have this kind of personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray with you, every head bowed. And I want you, for those of you who say, this is the, I do want that kind of relationship, just pray this with me. Dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for living life on my terms. Now I trust God's terms. I believe you died and you were buried, and God raised you from the dead to save me. Now I receive you into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. Now fill me with your Spirit and give me the power to live trusting you, not being motivated by my fears. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to pray for some of you seasoned saints, and you have been enjoying the word of God that's been going forward. Let me both challenge and encourage you also. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing as a seasoned believer, as someone that's been walking with the Lord? You seasoned saints, what are you doing? If you're doing nothing, I want to let you know that that ain't your call. God didn't call you to do nothing. Like my mom used to say, he didn't call us to sit on the pew. He called us to be actively engaged in the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth in society today. And let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for what our ears have heard, for what our spiritual eyes have seen, and for what has entered into our hearts today. For we know that you truly love us, and you've given us what's necessary for the here and now. We need to make decisions. And now, Lord, we know how to involve you in our decision making and what we need to do with that. So we thank you, Lord. We bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God.
We're making impact. We're making impact. Making impact as we sing and as we pray.